Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on this Friday. Hello, Arch.
Tiff, good to be with you guys. I'm having one of those get off my lawn moments. So you guys, I need to have you guys help me out a little bit. Ashton Genty tonight, you guys have been talking about college football all morning, and Ashton Genty tonight, coming off a 230-yard performance against Oregon State, is just under 2,300 yards rushing, and I would assume is maybe second or third in the Heisman balloting, I would assume. He's about 360 yards behind Barry Sanders' all-time rushing record of 2,650-some-odd yards and 37 touchdowns. Jenny's got 28 touchdowns, so incredible year for the Boise State Bronco. But I'm feeling some kind of way because – Barry Sanders did it in 11 games.
I knew you were going to say that.
This is Genty's 13th game coming up this weekend, and he's guaranteed to at least have another game. How do you guys feel about Barry? And the records are kind of what they are because of the number of games we play now. So you're kind of comparing apples to oranges. But how do you feel about Barry Sanders' record, which I think is unbelievable? He averaged 240 yards a game his last year at Oklahoma State, to rush for almost 2,650 yards and 37 touchdowns. What do you guys feel about that?
Arch, I'm just going to say this. Records are becoming obsolete in sports because every single sport is dealing with this exact conversation. The whole golden at bat thing
of
the day.
So what are you saying? Because I thought you were going to be on Arch's side.
I am. All right. I'm just saying that records, period. Like, every sport has changed the way they do things, and it's not even fair to say, well, this record's being broken. It's like, dude. Oh, like, okay. You know what I mean? There's more games. There's different rules. There's all this other kind of stuff. And you're like, I don't know. Arch, don't put me in a bad mood, Arch. Golly, I'm feeling good.
Can we separate it? Can there be two?
You're asking
like
for is an asterisk. Asking for an asterisk.
No, I'm saying Barry Sanders keeps his for how long was it standing again? It's been what? 30 plus years.
Said it in like 88.
Yeah.
So that stands, and then there's like a new one set for.
No.
You know, I'm trying to make everybody happy here.
No.
So you're saying a modern day and
a modern, yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you can do that.
We'll have to do that again in 10 years.
It's the same with every sport, even like 10 years ago.
This is your fault.
See, I'm just trying to give you guys a topic. This
Golly.
Is sports talk, man. You guys should chop
well,
that up for about an hour.
You know what, in Cheerios.
Let me ask you this, though. He's already announced he's going to leave for the NFL. I mean, do you think he even plays after tonight? That's the question, Arch.
If they win, yeah.
Well, he'll play after tonight. If they beat UNLV, you can bet on that.
Yeah.
He'll be in the playoff. They'll have a bye. They'll be the number four seed. So you can bet he'll play in the next one.
Also, I'm supposed to be asking you questions, not vice versa. That's not how it works.
I like the energy he came in with today. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, we've talked about this, and Mike and I are just kind of dumbfounded. What do you think the blueprint is for us to win in Minnesota, a team that's, by the way, is 5-1 at home this year?
The blueprint would be Sack Darnold, who's been sacked, I think, 3-plus times in 8 of the 12 games he's played in. So you're coming off a pretty good performance against Herbert. Can you keep that momentum going, get after the passer? And then you got to find a way to bloody their nose in the running game so their pass rushers can't get after you. They've got 39 sacks. I think they're 4th in the league and get after the passer. And, oh, by the way, don't throw it to the other team. They lead the league in interceptions. So that's the blueprint. Don't turn it over, sack their QB, bloody their nose in the run game.
Hey, actually, you know what? We said all of those things except for the first part, so I feel pretty good now.
Arch, I was listening to your interview with Kirk Cousins, and within it, you know, talking about going back to Minnesota and maybe dealing with some of the distractions of people wanting to come up to him before the game, people that he had great relationships with. And so just from the former player perspective, too, and I don't know if you dealt with this, you know, way back when, but the distraction and the focus when you're trying to get ready for a game and how that can be if someone's trying to approach you in a game that, you know, this team actually has to win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no question. He had to sprinkle in the way back when thing, right?
Yeah,
shot over the power.
I had to ask Bo. I was like, was
I heard that. You tried to sneak that in, but I heard that.
I told her you were old, so.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Wise, more like a Yoda.
Yes, wise.
There's a lot of distractions, regardless of whether you're going back to your former haunts or whether you've got family that have flown in town. I remember one of the first games that I played on the road, we played in Minnesota, and my entire family flew into Minnesota to do the game. It was great to see them. But here I am. I've got the anxieties playing in my first game, you know, and doing those kind of things. So there's always going to be distractions. I think the players, and Mike can speak to this as well, you have the ability to block all that stuff out. You do the glad handing. You know it's a piece of it. But then there's not really – when you step on the field, then you've forgotten all about that. And that's why you're able to block out the 70,000 fans that are doing stuff, and we're going to Pittsburgh and they're throwing batteries at you and all that kind of stuff. You're just there to play football. So once you step between the lines, all that stuff melts away.
Well, speaking of the way he's going to be able to start the game, Arch, last week I went through the first drive and really the first couple of drives, and it looked like an offense coming off a bye week. You ran a quarterback sneak. There was a draw action. They sprinkled in a wham play last week. There was a duo with Charlie Warner wrapping around to the backside linebacker. I mean, it looked different. And then I think in the second half, you kind of went back to what you were before the bye week in a lot of ways. Wide zone, five-step drops, passing concepts. I guess my question to you is, like, what version will we see this week? Is it Zach Robinson going back and still doing some of the self-scouting? Or do you think at this point you say, hey, we have to go back to what we do well and what we think we can be successful with?
Well, I think that it's a combination, Mike. You know as well as I do that you're never going to get one specific piece of it. That's the definition of who you are. If you had some success, which we did, and you're right, early on with some of the newer stuff, maybe some wrinkles that nobody had scouted for, the unscouted stuff that the Chargers weren't prepared for, you'll sprinkle again that stuff in. Because sometimes you're testing the water with some of this stuff as to whether you think it'll work or not. I mean, you think it will, but does it work? And when it does, then it attaches itself to the game plan where it'll be repeated the next time out. Then you get back to some of the stuff you thought you were successful with prior to. So, you know, if you go back, if you eliminate what you can't, you're going to eliminate the turnovers by the quarterback. I think you love the game plan. I think you love the way the thing unfolded. I think you're going to put more points on the board. You don't turn the football over, and all of a sudden you look up and you won the football game. So I think you got to be careful about overanalyzing the game plan and say, wow, we didn't win the football game, so now we're going to have to change this, that, or the other. Or we've got to include more stuff in. I think that ultimately you've got to factor in the screw-ups and the turnovers were the key part of that maybe made you think of the game plan was kind of one-dimensional in the second half, which it wasn't.
All right, Arch, you got the SEC championship game. I know you're getting that for that game on Saturday. What do you think about this game? Because we were talking about it earlier, and this was like Georgia's Mona Lisa of defensive efforts this season, and they haven't been the same defense really since and out. But Carson Beck, to that point, has turned it around. He's got 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in his last 3.
Mona Lisa. Dude, I don't know where you're coming up with some of this stuff. It's unbelievable. You don't know anything about art. You don't, no. I don't even think you've looked at a painting in your life. You don't even know what the Mona Lisa looks like. Anyway,
I heard it on a TV show one time. I forgot to use the line.
You copied that from somebody else. I know that.
He has the Mona Lisa Lego kit. Yeah.
You're right in the fact that this was the best effort Georgia had defensively. They were dialed in, obviously got after the pass for 7 sacks. They had 10 tackles for loss. They did an outstanding job on that side of the football, limited the run game, and I thought that was the key. And I think that that's something Steve Sarkisian will look back at and say, you know, we didn't run the football the way we're capable of running it. You know, you look at the run game they had against A&M, they ran for 240 yards against A&M. They'll look at the Tech game, and I know part of that had to do with Haynes King running with the football. And I know you guys have talked about quarterback running quarterbacks and how much will Arch Manning be in the game. But I do think the run game will be a big part of what Sark wants to do. I think he'll get back to his short passing attack. I think you'll see the bubble screens, all those kind of things, getting the ball out of Ewers' hands quickly. He was holding the football, allowed Georgia to get home last time. I think you'll see all of that. As far as on the other side of the ball, I mean, make sure you get the tight ends involved in this game. I think that, you know, when Georgia's operating at a high level, not every throw is going to Arian Smith or Dylan Bell. They're throwing the ball to their tight ends. They're throwing the ball to the backs. If you go back and look at their success, even when Stetson Bennett was there, the backs were a big part of what they did throwing the football. I think they've got to get those guys and the tight end. I know Bowers is not there, but Delp and Lucky are good players. So get those guys involved in the passing game.
Real quick, Arch, we got 30 seconds, but I'm not going to let you get out of this segment. You're working the game tomorrow afternoon, but make no mistake, the biggest game in the Archer household is Iowa State. is this the biggest game that Iowa State maybe has ever played?
I don't think there's any question, Mike, that you could sprinkle that pixie dust on it, that it's their biggest game in their history. They played in the Big 12 title game in 2020 against Oklahoma, but and lost that game. It was a close game. Then played in the Fiesta Bowl the next weekend or three weekends later and beat Oregon. But this game has more ramifications attached to it than Iowa State's ever seen.
Mm.
Well, good luck to all of your teams.
Good luck, Arch.
This weekend, Arch.
Go Cyclones, baby. Go Cyclones.